I chose tonight's topic, which in the bulletin I think had a different title. Does the dermatologist have to come to the bris? Now, in halacha, the question is, who is the dermatologist? So, I like Dr. Fogelman a lot, and that was, as said over Shabbos, that was one of the reasons why I chose the title to be such, because of the Parsha Tazria Mitzora, which deals a lot with skin, disease, and ailments. But halachically, you find a parallel to the dermatologist. The halachic dermatologist is really the kohen. One of the only tumas that are dependent on something else, every other tame, it's a reality. Something becomes impure, something happens, and it becomes tame. The one tuma, the one state of impurity that is totally dependent on a doctor, on a specific person, in our case, the kohen, so he is the doctor in this case, and he checks the skin ailment, he checks the skin, and that is totally in the jurisdiction of the kohen, and it only becomes impure once he paskins that it's tameh. And the same way, it also is removed, and it becomes pure, tahor, because he paskins and announces that it is tahor. And there are many different types of taras. We're not going to get into the different details. But just something that I found interesting, you know, in this analogy, that in my opinion, the halachic doctor in this case is actually the kohen, and he's really the dermatologist. Is something that I saw in the Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg brings from an etziv in this week's parsha in Hamek Dover, and he comments on the fact that when it comes to Hilchos Negoim, when it comes to Tzaras, you find that there are different halachos that apply specifically to this area of Tuma. Like we just said, over here it's dependent on a specific individual, the Kohen. And that goes to the extent, the Yerushalmi says, and many of the Rishonim paskin like this, that you need special rabbinic classes in these halachos of Negoim, and you need special shimush. And the Netziv discusses in Hamek Dover, in his commentary in this week's Parsha, he discusses how, even though a person might be embarrassed, and it might be a little awkward and uncomfortable, for a doctor, let's call him, to bring all of these interns to study around and look at what is a negatame, what is a negatar, which one's pure, which one's impure. But because there is this unique halacha that you need to be trained specifically in negayim, above and beyond all other smicha in reitz, let's say, here you need your rabbi, your kohen, to bring you over and teach you, the kohen, the future kohen, what's tahar, what's tameh. So we have no other choice. We have to ignore the fact that it's uncomfortable. We'll make it as comfortable as possible. We'll try to be as sensitive as possible. But they got to learn. They need shimush. They need to be rabbis. And it's not sufficient just to go into YU or to go into, you know, another yeshiva and take smicha classes. Over here, you need hands-on experience. You got to see it, just like the interns have to see it from the doctor, from the resident, from the chief residents, from the doctors themselves that train the internists, the interns and the residents as well. And the Tzitz Eliezer discusses and quotes this netziv discussing the halachic issue of patient confidentiality. I mean, how does halacha deal with the concept of patient confidentiality? So he says, well, it depends. Do we have a choice? Do we not have a choice? And one of his sources is from this halacha, from the halachic dermatology that we are going to discuss. So, what is this relevant halacha l'maisa? So the reason I chose specifically this topic is because you look, in today's Shulchan Aruch, we don't have anything about korbanos in Shulchan Aruch. We don't have most of Hilchos Tzaras is not even in Shulchan Aruch because it's just not around today. So one would think, okay, so this halacha doesn't exist. What are we learning about this? It's Emiratz Hashem, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. That is when we are going to practice Negayim. A person's going to become impure, and he'll have to leave, and he'll have to leave the walled city, whatever it is. And when it goes away, he'll have to bring Karbanos, and etc., etc., etc. But what's striking is if you open up a Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Mila, you open up, I forget exactly the siman, but the first se'if in one of the simanim in Hilchos Mila, it's not long, you'll see that the halacha, that a person is not allowed to remove his ailment, his negatzaras, applies in Shulchan Aruch today. Why is it in Hilchos Mila? Because the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that there's one exception to the rule that we learn out from a pasuk, Yimol Besar or Lasso. The Torah in this week's parsha tells us Besar Afilu B'Makom Negatzaras, that a child on the eighth day that has to perform the mitzvah smila, and his father has to perform the mitzvah smila for him, he's allowed to override the prohibition of removing a skin ailment if it's on the area of the mila. Wow, that's fascinating. So it's this halacha that mitzvahs mila seems to imply, and the post can point out, that technically all of these halachos could exist today. And I wouldn't be shocked, Dr. Fogelman, if a guy comes up to you tomorrow and says, asks you, am I allowed to remove this or not? Because that is a serious question. Can he remove anything on his body? Maybe not. Maybe you have to study Hilchos Negayim. Because by the fact that the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, so it shows that these halachos are relevant, and if, for sure, if something already became impure and was paskined by the Kohen that it's impure, so then you're for sure not allowed to remove it. Baruch Hashem, the Kohanim don't go around and paskin, so that solves that issue. But, as we'll go see into the Shir, there are certain times that even if the Nega, the tzaras, the skin ailment, is pure, still one is not permitted to remove the ailment, and you have to leave it there, and you can't go to the dermatologist. So we're not going to deal with all the details, which negam artame, which negam artar, what do they look like. That is for your reading on Shabbos. There's a lot of halachos to discuss, a whole meseches negam about. But I'd like to discuss the nature, which we just proved, is a halacha that's Halacha l'maisa, it's in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Mila, that when it comes to the mitzvahs mila, we override the general rule that one is not permitted to remove the negatzaras. If he has something white on his body and it has simanei tumah, so then you are not allowed to remove it. But when it comes to mila, that is not the case. So let's look at source number one. The Gemara says, how do we know this? Mila doches atzaras maitaima. How do you know that mila overrides the iser of removing the negatzaras? Da'asi asei v'dachi los asei. Well, we have a conflict. On the one hand, you have a positive commandment, mitzvah mila. On the other hand, you have a negative commandment, hishamer b'negatzaras, los asei, not to remove the negatzaras. So the klal is, asi asei v'dachi los asei. One overrides the other, the positive commandment overrides. Umayo eno de gamar had de gamar emer de amrinon asi asei v'dachi los asei. The Gemara challenges it. No, that's all good and nice when all you have is just an essay that's countering a los asei, a negative commandment. Over here, you also have a los asei v'essei. So what are you going to do? So therefore, the Gemara says, but over here, by tzaras, the Torah doesn't only say a negative commandment, don't take it off. The Torah also says, lasos l'chol asher yoru l'chei ha-kohanim. You have a positive commandment, lasos, to do all that the Kohanim, the priests, the doctor, the dermatologist, the halakhic dermatologist, instructs you. Lasos l'cha l'chol asher yoru l'chem ha-kohanim. You should positively listen to the Kohanim and find out what the instruction is. Is it tummy? Is it tahar? Can you take it off? Can you not? Fine. So therefore, the Gemara says, I need a pasuk. Umani makayim yimo b'sar alaso b'zman she'em baheres. Tam lomer basar afilu yesham baheres. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me, even though there is a negatzaras here, and I couldn't just rely on the regular rules and regulations that we have from the Gemara, that a positive commandment can override a negative commandment, so therefore comes along the Torah and tells you, a pasuk, psar, the Torah told you that when it comes to Mila, you're allowed to override Saras. It's a Gzeiras HaKosuv. That's what the Torah, the Rabbonu Shalom, instructed us, that even this is a Lo Saseh Ve'eseh, over here, one is allowed to perform the Mitzvah Mila. So if I would ask you, what is the source that Halacha L'maisa, Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, today, tomorrow, that you're at a Mila, and you see that there's a negat saras there, you can still override the isser of removing it. It's not esse dochalos asse, because over here there's also a positive commandment. So it's rather from a pasuk. Comes along the Rambam in source number 4, and is very perplexing. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tumas Saras, Misha hayisa baheres bar laso, yimo, a person who has a negat saras, one of the negarim that are tmeim, on their makom hamila, ve'afal pi shehimila shlo bezmana shemitzvas esei docha eslo sasei mikom makom. Ram says very simple, classic rule that we have: a positive commandment overrides a negative commandment, and that's why the mila overrides. I don't understand. The Rambam totally ignored another factor. The Gemara told us black on white that when it comes to Baharis, it's not just a simple negative commandment, a lo saseh, of hishamer benegatzaras, guard, and don't take it off. But rather, there's a positive commandment. Lasos kechol asher yoru lechem hakohen. That is a serious, serious problem that the Rambam ignores one of the halachos that are by tzaras. And you'll tell me, okay, very simple, the Rambam's a halachic authority. The Rambam doesn't paskin that there's a positive commandment of lasos l'chol asher yoru l'chayanim, listening to the priests. You look at the beginning in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam writes black on white, both in the Yad and in Sefer HaMitzvos, there is a positive commandment when it comes to removing a nega tzaras. So why is it that the Rambam felt that it's possible to use the regular rule of esse dochalos asse, and he ignored the fact that there's also a positive commandment, a los asse v'esse, on the side of tzaras? The Dvar Avram, the Rav, he died in World War II. He was the Rav in Kovna, the Gadol Ador at that time. He had a fascinating explanation. And based on his explanation, I'd like to give Mahalach and the whole sugya. This is actually a shtickle Torah that I gave at my son Akiva's bris, and it goes as follows: the Dvar Avram said that the Rambam agrees. There's a negative commandment and a positive commandment. Hishamer benegat tzaras. But what is the nature of the positive commandment? Listen to the words: lasos, to do, kechol asher yoru lachem hakohanim. You should listen to the doctor, to the dermatologist, listen to the kohen, and listen to what he says and follow what he says. So the Dvar Avram says, this does not necessarily have to go hand in hand with the prohibition. The isser, the prohibition is, do not remove the negatzaras. What's the positive commandment? Do whatever you're told by the Kohen. So, says the Dvar Avram, the Rambam was of the opinion that, yes, there's a mitzvah's essay when it comes to tzara'as. But when it's faced up against the mitzvah's mila, so I am fulfilling the mitzvah's essay of lasos kechol asher yoru lechem hakohanim, because one of the halachos in Shulchan Aruch, like we just said, is mila overrides tzara'as. So therefore, the Dvar Avram says the Rambam wasn't ignoring the essay. He just split between the essay and the los essay. Whereas the los essay has to be pushed away, has to be nidche through the essay of Mila, and we employ the halacha of essay docha los essay, because you're now removing the nega tzaras. The essay of tzaras is something that you're not being doche, you're not violating, rather you're fulfilling. You're being mekayim, the mitzvah, by listening to the Kohanim. similar to the Shitas HaRambam when it comes to the nature of mitzvahs derabbanon. The Rambam is of the opinion that mitzvahs derabbanon, rabbinic mitzvos, actually have a fulfillment of a mitzvahs essay min haTorah, of a biblical commandment. How do we understand that? We understand that whatever they say, so I'm fulfilling it. So too, when it comes to the Kohanim, whatever they say, I'm fulfilling what they're instructing. In this case, the Kohen instructed me, go on with the Milah. You should actually take off the Negatzaras. So when it comes to the negative commandment, okay, that I have to override. There's no way around that. When it comes to the positive commandment, I'm not overriding that, I'm fulfilling that. That is what he suggests, a very interesting idea in the Rambam. I'd like to present to you another rationale, and hopefully we can understand, based on this, the nature of the prohibition to remove tzaras. You see, when you look at Tosfos, in source number 3, you get the opposite impression. Why is that? Tosfos says as follows. He goes back to the original Gemara that we mentioned. Vim Tomar, source number 3. So Rabbeinu Tam says, don't think that that's dafka. There's a los assay and an essay when it comes to mila b'tzaras. Okay. Bin Tomar, this is important on the second line. That which we have a klal, a rule in all over Shas, that when it comes to the rule of essay, a positive commandment, overriding a negative commandment, that's limited if there's also a positive commandment on the side of the negative commandment, a lo sasev essay, why don't we use this as a source that that's not true? That a positive commandment can even override a lo sasev essay, a negative commandment. Tosa says, learn from here, from Mila Batsaras. This should be the source that you have unlimited power. A mitzvah's essay could be even docha lo sasev essay. Answers Tosas, Yesh Lomar, Malamila, Shekein Nechrusu Aleh, Yud Gimel Brisos. Tosas says that can't be. Because Mila is unique. Circumcision has within it, given in the covenants, a lot of promises and covenants that God gave us with this mitzvah. So there's something strengthened about and unique about the mitzvah's Mila that was given with 13 covenants. Therefore, it has an added power to even override a mitzvah lo sasei and an essay. But this, therefore, can't be the source in Kol HaTorah Kula that a mitzvah essay could even be docha and override a lo sasei essay. Because all other areas of halacha, all you have is the regular mitzvah. You don't have the 13 covenants, which gives this extra power. And the Maharsha asks on this Tosfos that it seems to be against a Gemara. The Gemara says in source number 2, how do I know that a person who has a mila shelo bezmana, a person who is going to be mal, he couldn't do it on the 8th day, now he has to do it on the 9th day, whatever, and it falls out on Yontif. How do I know that it can't override the malacha of Yontif? So skip to the last line, says Rav Ashi, very simple. Shabbason essay, v'hava le Yontif, essay v'lo saseh. What do you have? You have mitzvahs mila. But up against the mitzvah smila, you have Yontif. Yontif has a negative commandment of doing malachos, and Yontif has a positive commandment of keeping Yontif in a positive sense. Shabbason. Essay is not doche, lo sasei ve'essay. And the Maharsha asks, wait a second. Tosfos just got finished telling us a second ago that mila is different than any other mitzvah. And over here, this can't be the source by Baharis, by Tzaras, that an essay, a positive commandment, can be docha elosasiv essay, because Tzaras is different, Mila is different. Mila has within it 13 covenants. So therefore, by Tzaras, it can even override a losasay and an essay. And then the next Gemara, when the question is a different question, whether or not Mila can override Yontif, the Gemara says, absolutely not. Yontif is a los assay and an essay. How could Mila, which is only an essay, be docha los save essay? Ask the Maharsha, didn't Tosfos just tell us Mila has 13 covenants? Of course it could override a los assay ve essay. Marshall gives an answer. We're not going to go into his answer right now. Has certain problems with it. But I'd like to finish the topic, so we're going to skip his answer. And I'm going to suggest the answer of the Or Sameach that I think will shed light on the nature of the prohibition that we're discussing. You see, there's certain combinations in halacha when it comes to mitzvos that exist that I think will explain the answer to this contradiction. The Gemara in Kiddushin says as follows. Women are not obligated in time-bound mitzvos. Mitzvos asei she'azman gram. And the Gemara there goes on to say, but when it comes to non-time-bound mitzvos, let's say building a gate around your roof so someone shouldn't fall off, the mitzvah of makeh, so then women are obligated because that's not related to time. So therefore, the Gemara says women are obligated in makeh in putting up a fence. Ask the Ramban on the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Dalet where the Gemara makes that statement. I don't understand. The Torah says that there's a negative. There's a violation, a prohibition of lo sasim damam beisecha. If a person doesn't put up a fence, he's over a lo sase. Of course a woman is obligated in putting up a makeh. Because there's a lav, a lo sase, a negative commandment when it comes to the fence. So what do I need the Gemara to tell me? Because it's not a time-bound mitzvah. The Ramban asks, can a woman eat chazer? Can a woman eat nevelos? Obviously not. So she also can't cause lo sasim damim beisecha. Don't place blood in your house. The Ramban gives us a very important fundamental yusod. He says as follows. There are certain mitzvos. This is not an independent lo sase. This is a link to the positive commandment. The Ramban says when the Torah says va'asisa makel legagecha, what was the focus of the Torah? The focus of the Torah was a positive commandment. You should put a fence on your roof. And the Torah strengthened that positive commandment with a footnote, with a link of lo sasin damim beisecha, a negative commandment. You should put something on your roof because lo sasin damim beisecha. But if one would analyze and want to categorize what the nature of mitzvahs makeh is, although the Torah does say something negative there, but that's all subsumed under the title of the mitzvah, the positive commandment of makeh. So therefore the Ramban says, therefore the Gemara has to tell me, the mitzvah of makeh, putting up a fence, is not a time-bound mitzvah, and it's not because of the lo sasei, because it, in essence, is a positive commandment. And it's only because that positive commandment is not time-bound that a woman is obligated. And I wouldn't know and compare it to chazir because this is not an independent negative commandment. It's a sniff. It's a footnote. It's a link. It strengthens the positive commandment. The Or Sameach says the same could be true in the reverse direction. There could be certain negative commandments. There can be certain los assays. And there's a positive commandment added on as a footnote, as a link, to strengthen that negative commandment. But at the end of the day, those are looked upon as one unit. And the positive commandment is there to strengthen the negative commandment. So it could be the answer to our contradiction is that there's a difference between the package deal of Yontif and the package deal of Tzaras. Although it's true, both of these cases have a lo sase and an essay, and it's true, there is both a negative commandment and a positive commandment, but maybe in some of these cases, they are linked, and in some of these cases, they're not linked. Just like the Ramban says, by the case of makeh, offense, you could have a lo sase that links to the essay. So we are suggesting, when it comes to tzaras, the mitzvah of listening to the Kohanim is linked to the prohibition and the negative commandment of removing the nega tzaras. And they're one package deal. If they're one package deal, so then one could understand, okay, that's why Yud Gimel Brisus, the fact that Mila has this quality that makes it very powerful, it could be Docha, this package that's more powerful by Lo Sase Ve'ese. But if one would look at the case of Yantif, you have on the one hand the Isser Malacha, on the other hand the Mitzvah's essay of Shabbason. And many of the Rishonim tell us that they don't always go hand in hand. Women are obligated on Yantif, some of the Rishonim say, in the Malachos, but they don't necessarily have the Mitzvah's essay of Shabbason. So when it comes to Yantif, the Los Asse and the essay are not necessarily a package deal, one unit. So then why should the fact that Mila is strengthened, the fact that it has Yud Gimel Brisos, that's going to allow the fact that it's now going to be Doche, both a Los Asse and an essay? We have no precedent for such a concept. A mitzvah cannot be Doche two disconnected things. It's Doche the Los Asse, and now it's going to be Doche the essay. No, if you have something over here, one item, and you have another package over here, so if it's stronger because it has Yud Gimel Brisos, because it has 13 covenants, it could shoot out that package, and the fact that it has this strength and character of the Yud Gimel Brisos, so therefore by Tzaraas, which is one package, you could be Doche. But Yantif, which is two independent halachos, they're not linking together. There's a negative commandment and a positive commandment. And they don't always go hand in hand, like we said, by woman. So how is one mitzvah as strong as it could be? It could have 14 covenants, 15 covenants. How does it work twice to be doche? The halacha is, an essay is doche lo sase. It doesn't have a double tchia to jump to two different prohibitions and mitzvos. It doesn't have that koach. We never have a precedent for such a concept. So it's only if it's one unit, so that one could understand that the fact that it has 13 brisos and it's stronger, it could be doche then. Why am I going to this extent to explain that they're one unit? I'll explain it to you right now. This is going to shed light to us on the nature of the Isser of removing Tzaraas. You could explain this in one of two ways, and then everything will become clear, Mir Tzisha. One could approach the way we've been approaching right now. Simply, the Torah tells you, Hishamar b'nega Tzaraas, you should make sure not to rip off a nega. Don't cut it off. Fine. And b'makom mila, that's not the case. Alright, fine. And we said, according to the Devar Avram and the Rambam, there's another halacha, an independent halacha. Listen to the Kohanim, whatever they say. If they say yes, b'makom mila, listen to them. If they say no, whatever it is. There's a halacha, you should listen to what their paskening is. You should go to their psak, you should go to the Rav, the Kohen, the dermatologist. That should be the one you're approaching and listen to what he paskens. Those seem to be two unrelated halachas. If you look at source number 5, we're not going to read it inside, but there's a fascinating Rashba that gives a total different taste to the nature of the prohibition that we're discussing, that's going to give us a new insight into the whole halacha that we're discussing. The Gemara says as follows. If you have a mila, it's the 8th day, and there's a tzaraas that's on the makom mila. So the Gemara says, are you allowed to do it or not? Before the Gemara came on to the fact that the Torah gave us a pasuk. So the Gemara says, well, it's a davar sheino miskaven. Person wants to perform the mitzvah's mila. He doesn't want to remove the nega tzaraas. He's not miskaven. He doesn't have intention to violate the negative commandment of removing the nega tzaraas. So therefore the Gemara goes back and forth. Is this true or not? Do you need a pasuk? What? The Rashba asks, davar sheino miskaven. Person is walking up to the makom mila. I understand this is not the ideal scenario. This is not what he would have liked to happen. But the Rashba says this person is fully aware about what he's doing and what's on the makom mila, and that he's about to take a knife and he's about to cut off the tzaraas. How could one, with a straight face, how could the Gemara call this a davar sheino miskaven? The person, okay, it's not in his interest. He was not happy about it. You know, the Kohen has to come, the dermatologist has to come. It's very awkward. But that's not a davar sheino miskaven. The person's fully aware. Davar sheino miskaven is, I have no idea that, I didn't know that this was going to happen. This was not my intention. And it happened to come out. What's davar sheino miskaven? The Rashba says, apparently you see from here, that we got it all wrong. We misunderstood what the nature in this week's parasha of removing the skin ailment on your body. It's not, like we said, simply just to cut it off. The Torah says don't cut it off. And now you're cutting it off. That would not be considered a davar shenu miskaven, even when it comes to a case of milah. The Rashba says, you want to know the nature of hishamer benega tzaras? It's not don't cut it off, but rather don't become tahor through another direction other than the psak of the kohen. The nature of this violation is not an iser maisa, is not an activity of cutting it off. It's a result-oriented prohibition. It's that if you are going to solve the issue of this nega tzaras in another way other than the psak of the dermatologist of the kohen, that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants that the jurisdiction should be under the kohen, not that you should take care of this in other ways, shapes, or forms. So therefore, argues the Rashba, that's why I could view this as a davar shenu miskaven. When a person is miskaven, has intention to violate the prohibition of nega tzaras, he has to think about, I am now going to go another way, another route, and I'm not going to go down the block to the Kohen's house in order to get a psak. Over here, I'm doing a mitzvah milah. I like the dermatologist. I like the Kohen. But I have a mitzvah milah. I don't have intention to circumvent and make sure that I hop around before the Kohen comes over to my house and sees it. No, I have no problems with the Kohen. Otherwise I would. But I have to perform a milah. Now one could begin to understand. The Rashba says, that's a davar shenu miskaven. It's not the activity of cutting it off. It's the result. It's the fact that you're trying to become tar through another direction, through another avenue. That's not my intention when it comes to the case of mitzvah milah. So the Rashba is inventing this new idea of how to understand the negative commandment of Tzitzas Baheres, cutting off the Negat Saras. If that's the case, Rabosai, I think one can understand exactly what we've been developing up until now. According to the opinion of the Rashba, that the nature of the negative commandment of Hishamer B'Negat Saras is not don't cut this off, but rather don't create Tahara through another direction other than the Kohen. So then, the negative commandments and the positive commandments are linked, are very similar. What's the negative commandment? Hishamer b'nega tzaras. Doesn't mean don't cut it off. It means shelo litar shelo ayde kohen. Don't become pure without and not through the direction of the kohen. And then what's the positive commandment? Lasos l'chol asher yoru l'chem ha-kohanim. This is all one package. The Kohen should be the Matahir. He is strengthening the Losase, and the Losase is all one package, is one concept, one title with the negative commandments. That was the opinion of Tosfos. That is exactly what we said to resolve the question that we asked earlier. However, if you understand, like we presented earlier, that the nature of the prohibition is like we understood simply, don't cut off a negatzaras. If that's the case, so that's a negative commandment, and that's totally disconnected to the essay of Lasso Zechol Asher Yoru L'chem HaKohanim. What I'm suggesting is that according to the Shitas HaRambam, it's exactly what the Dvar Avram said. There's a disconnect between the negative commandment and the positive commandment. So the Rambam would never envision saying, because this is not one package deal. The Dvar Avram explained, the Rambam says, you're fulfilling the essay, but you're at the same time violating the losase. When I'm going up to the mitzvah smila, and the mole is cutting off the tzaras. So the Rambam understands, well, there's a negative commandment not to do the pa'ula, the activity of cutting off tzaras. So that's the negative commandment. Is there any positive commandment that's linked to that? Absolutely not. The positive commandment of listening to the Kohanim, Lasos Kichol Asher Yoru L'chem HaKohanim, that has to do with Tara. That has to do with going to the Kohen, the dermatologist, the Posek over here. That's totally something independent. Therefore, The Rambam said that the reason why Mila can be Docha Tzaras, that's because Ese Docha Lo Sase. We asked, what about the Lo Sase Vase? There's another positive commandment. So the Dvar Avram answered, no, you're not overriding the positive commandment. That's something else. That's an independent entity. That's something that you're even fulfilling. Because at the time of Mila, you're actually fulfilling what the Kohanim are telling you to do. But the negative commandment, that's nothing that's connected to this. At the end of the day, I'm cutting off. I'm active. I'm actually doing the Maisek Tzitza. I'm actively taking off the Negatzaras. So that's why the Rambam split between the positive and the negative. Whereas the Rashba, who didn't understand like that, the Rashba who understood even the negative commandment is a function of Tara, is a goal-oriented Isser. It's not, it's the result. It's not the active taking off. It's the fact that at the end of the day, I'm doing something that's going to become, cause me to become Tar, not through the Psak of the Kohen. L'tar shelo ayde Kohen. Yeah, the Rambam says the Isser is b'sheho ilu maisav, that now it helps, and that's the violation. You now circumvented Halacha over here. You cut it off. The Rambam says specifically when it helps, ho ilu maisav, that it actually was a toeles, like the Lashon in Hebrew. And he cut it off so that. That right. So that is exactly what that's exactly what we're worried about here. That's what the Rambam's saying. That's the negative violation. You're going to do something that has toelis. That's the prohibition. So according to the Rashba, one would say exactly what we said in Tosfos. This is all one unit. This is a concept that's actually connected. If you look at the Lo Sase, you look at the essay, they're all under one concept. It's called Tara. One is a negative commandment regarding the Tara, and one is a positive commandment regarding the Tara. And that's why Tosfos was of the opinion, and we're suggesting the Rashba in the same line, would look of it this as the regular rules and regulations of and therefore Tosos had a question. Since the Torah gave us a pasuk over here to tell us that a Kohen can, that over here you can override a lo sase ve'ese, let this be the source in Kol HaTorah Kula that ese has the power to be docha lo sase ve'ese, just like this case. And Tosos says no, because this case has a special power, Yud Gimel Brisos, 13 covenants. So that's why Mila can override both the negative and positive commandments. But then the Maharsha asked, but the Gemara by Yontif says, by Mila, Eina Seidocha Lo Saseva Esei. So you see, the covenant of 13 covenants doesn't have the ability to override both a positive and negative commandment. And we suggested, it's not any Lo Saseva Esei. It's a negative and positive commandment that are one unit. You're right. No matter how powerful a mitzvah is, it doesn't have the ability to override two independent mitzvahs. A los assay and an essay that aren't connected and forged into one. However, Tosfos was saying, when it comes to Mila, the Makom Saras, here, Yud Gimel Brisos has the ability to override a positive and negative commandment. Why? We suggested, because over here they're linked. And they're not independent like Yontif. Why are they linked? Exactly what we explained in the Rashba. Because both the negative commandments and the positive commandments are about not being tar and not and listening to the Kohen. It's all about the Kohen's jurisdiction, the Kohen's psak. So it's taras haKohen, whether it's in a positive light or a negative light. So now they come together. They fortify each other and they become one unit. So then that's looked upon as one mitzvah. That's something that Yud Gimel Brisos, something like Mila, that has this extra strength, could override. But if they were two separate entities, two separate mitzvahs entirely, like Yontif, so the Gemara says over there, I don't care how strong Mila is, it doesn't have the ability to hit over there and again hit over here. An essay cannot do two tchiyas. An essay could do one tchiyah, And therefore it can override specifically this lo sase and esse, because they're forged into one and they become one unit, because the nature of the prohibition is just like we said in the Rashba, that it's all a function of the jurisdiction of the Kohen, the Tara of the Kohen. Because the Gemara says, "Ein asei dochalos seva esei." The Gemara says, all an esei has the ability to do is to do one tchia. It could be docha lo sase, but then to add on top of that to be docha another esei, that it can't do. So it's against the klalim of the Gemara gave us. It can't work. So it's only because we redefined the nature of what this prohibition is when it comes to Mila. And the Ktitzas Baharis is a totally different nature. It's really a lo sase ve'esei that are connected. So therefore, we can view it as only one tchia and not a double tchia, where the regular halacha of ein asei docha lo sase ve'esei. Meaning, if you have a mitzvah that has two independent, it has a positive commandment and it has a negative commandment, and they're not linked to become one unit, so then ein asei docha lo sase ve'esei. A positive commandment, no matter how strong it is, cannot work in two ways. It can't. It's not bidirectional. It can't. It can't do it. That's the Gemara in Yuvamis tells us, you're just not powerful enough. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says tzitzis can override kilayim, and that's all, folks. Just kilayim. There's no lo. There's only a lo sase. There's no mitzvah sase connected to it. So what's going on over here? On the one hand, you're telling me Mila is an exception. Why is Mila an exception? Well, Mila has Yud Gimel Brisos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 13 covenants. Okay, Yud Gimel Brisos. So you're telling me that's enough of a reason, that's sufficient reasoning to now override the regular rules and regulations of a lo sase ve'ese? So let it do it on the next page by Yontif. So you're contradicting yourself. On the one hand, you're telling me that Mila has 13 covenants and it could override a lo sase esei. And at the other time, the same token, you're telling me it doesn't have the ability to override Yontif and Mila Shlo Bezmana, which just came up this past Yontif. You're going to tell me it's not going to be able to be doche Yontif because of lo sase esei. But why? It has Yugam Abrisos. It's a significant mitzvah. The answer is, you misunderstood what the nature of Mila and Tzaras is. Over here, they become like one. And we can create a scenario that we can look at this lo sase and esse as if it's doing one dechia. It's dealing with one concept. And it's working against one. And the only time we're suggesting ein ase docha lo sase ve'ese, if they are two independent lo sase ve'eses. But if they're always forged, always found together, and they're one unit, so therefore one could be docha. Just to wrap things up, this will have tremendous nafkaminas when the Gemara tells us in Rabbi Elazar de Mila that this halacha, again, has. You need to delve into all the different halachos, what they look like, what not, what's tame, what's tahar. But the Torah tells us, the Gemara tells us, that this violation of ripping off a neged tzaras, or not ripping off, depending on what the nature of the prohibition or the shear that we just gave, does that apply only to something that the Tohen says is tame, or no? Let's say, bezman hazeh, no Kohen said anything to me, but I have a neged tahar. I have something that looks like it's a white ailment. You look through the art school pictures and I see something that really looks familiar, and now I'm getting very nervous, and now before I go to the dermatologist, I'm going to go to the halach. You're not a Kohen, right? I go to the halach dermatologist, I go to the Kohen, I find out. The Gemara says this prohibition applies to a nega tahor. Something which, it's not, Rashi says a bohak. Rashi says something that's not even, it's not even shayach for this thing to ever to become tame. Wow. How do we understand that? So the truth is, that's the lashon of the Gemara. Afilu nega tahar. One cannot be kotzeitz. One cannot cut off. So the Rishonim, if you look at Tosos and Shvuas and Abdalid, the Rishonim have a totally different interpretation of what does nega tahar mean. It doesn't really mean a pure nega. It means something that went through the weeks and it didn't turn in, it didn't get the hairs, it didn't get the full-fledged tumah, but it was already a mitzorah musgar. It already was a person who was in isolation. That's a negatar, and it didn't go the full-fledged way to become a tamei machlat, that you brought all the karbanos and you had the whole process. No, it was only a tamei musgar. Why did they have to disagree? Why did they have to reinterpret the simple explanation of the Gemara? Rashi's right. It applies to something, even today, no kohen. It was totally tar. It's something that looks like a nega, a bohak. The answer is, I think, because they were going in the line of reasoning of the Rashba. If the nature of this prohibition is not just to cut things off and to pluck something off, but the nature is that you're now going to be metaher and purify yourself, shelo ayidei kohen, without going to the kohen. So that's specifically to something that's tameh. That's specifically to something that's in the parsha of Tzaras, that actually could eventually spread and become tameh, and you're circumventing the kohen, and therefore it's having toeles and helping you out by you removing it. But if you understand that the nature is no, there's halacha, I have to do this activity. I'm not allowed to do this activity. I'm also not allowed to pluck. A simple halacha. Don't pluck things that look like this. So even a negator, don't pluck that. It has nothing to do with because now you're accomplishing tara, not through the kohen. There's an isser to do this activity. There's an isser to pluck. So Rashi says that isser to pluck even applies to something which is totally tahor, even something out of the realm of tahara, of the kohen. Because the positive and the negative, the kohen and the positive, lasos, and the negative of hashomer, are disconnected, are not one unit. And they're not necessarily hand in hand. And therefore, one could be totally tahor, even not applicable to tumah, and one is the mitzvah essay, is that when you're going to be metayer it, so then, you should really listen to the kohen. That's the positive commandment. And I think that's the answer to the Rambam, that's the answer to the Rashba and Tosfos, and that's going to be Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand the line of the Gemara to define Negator. Just to finish off with a little Machshava, if you look through the sugyas in Moed Katan, the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan that it's not just that a person has to go into isolation. A person really has to act, the Gemara says, when he becomes a metzora, similar to an oven. He has to rip his clothing. He has to wear kisei harosh. He has to do many activities that the Gemara says really mimic the avelus process. A person who's in mourning. But what exactly is he mourning? Alright, I know, you know, he sinned, whatever it is. But why are we mimicking something that died? What does this have any relevance to the mourning process? I think the answer is, especially in this time of Sfira, which is a time of Avelus, on the fact that Am Yisrael lo nagu kavod zeh bezeh. So a Metzora that the Gemara in Erechin tells us is not makbid how he interacts with the people around him. And he speaks slander, he speaks Lashon Hara. So that's a person that has to sit Avelus and has to go Badad Yeshev because he's an Avel on his Chelek of Klal Yisrael. He now lost. He has to recognize that you lost the fact that you're a member of this larger unit. You're a member of this larger body. And you're now cutting yourself off from that life source. You're connected, I'm connected to you, and you help me live. And if I act in this way, so then I'm mourning. I'm dead. I'm cut off. I have to act as if I was in mourning. Because part of my life is not just my bloodstream, not just my heart, but the way I interact with you. How I look at myself as a chelek of Klal Yisrael. Does Klal Yisrael pump me and get me going? Do I think for the Klal? Do I receive from the Klal? Am I connected to the Klal? You're not. Go outside. Sit Avelus. Because it's not just about physical life that Avelus is relevant for. It's about the spiritual life. It's about being connected to an Am. And that's something that you're missing. And you know what? When it comes to Taras, it overrides halacha that even applies to Avelos. When it comes to Yontif, Yontif overrides Avelos, the Gemara says. Asi Asi the Rabbim, the mitzvah of the public, of the whole Tzibor, the Yontif. You're going to now sit on Avelos? That's not appropriate. So comes the mitzvah of the public and overrides your Isser Avelos. And therefore you don't have Avelos on Yontif. But when it comes to Taras, that's not the case. Because you're not a chilek of the Asi the Rabbim. You don't experience Yontif like you should. You're not understanding what Yontif is about. You're going to Yontif. You're eating your meals as a person, as a unit, as one person. You're not a chilek of the unit. You're not a chilek of the klal. When it comes to you, we can't apply the halacha of Esei the Rabbim, the Yontif of the Tzibor, the Yontif of the Rabbim. And therefore, Mitzora is not pushed off like the regular mourning process that Yontif, Asi Esei the Rabbim, pushes off the Avelos process. Sorry.